The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Wednesday. We have game six tonight. We are going to be short and sweet because there is a long day ahead of us. So there's some things I want to get into. But first, we're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I was with lunch yesterday with Jeff Mishi from Desert Financial. I had a great time. We appreciate everything that they do. All right, so short and sweet on this Wednesday, on this game day, because tonight, got to be focused on this game. And I think for the Suns end of things, I feel like there's going to be a game seven. I do. You may be coming into today in a different mindset. As a fan, you're going to be like, no, come on, Brad. They're just going to win the game. I'm looking at this and saying, I feel like some momentum is with the Clippers. The Suns didn't show up. I have no idea why they didn't show up in game number five, but when you let Marcus Morris go out and go off early and guys like DeMarcus Cousins play well, and then Paul George getting going in the second half, all that to say the Suns just weren't ready in game five. So you push reset, you flush it, you move on, and you get ready for tonight. So what can be different? We've broken this down and we've had guests on and all of that throughout the last few weeks. I just feel like we're at a point of, okay, I'm tired of seeing the Clippers. You're tired of seeing the Clippers. We know that Patrick Beverley, we said at the front end of this series that Patrick Beverley is going to be an adjutant. He's going to be a guy that you hate because he's not on your team. If he was on the Suns playing like this, you'd love him. I love that guy. I love what he's all about if he's on your team, but he's not. So you hate him. He is the present day Danny Ainge. Okay. That's what it is. Monty Williams reacted a little bit yesterday in regards to Patrick Beverley. His comments about Beverly's style of play and the play where Chris Paul went to the ground and Beverly mocked him and all of that. And Monty said it right. You know, I can go to the league. I'm paraphrasing. I can go to the league and complain. What's that really going to do at this point? But there is this, let's get the word out. Let's put the pressure on behind the scenes. There's a lot of trying to use us, try to use media to get your narrative, your message across. It's part of the gamesmanship. And to me, it's, if they're not going to call it through the first, you know, five games, then why would they call it tonight? The whole thing about home court advantage, yeah, it's a big deal, I think early. But if the Clippers make this work for their good tonight and they're able to win and come back here to Phoenix in game seven, the only deal is it's on the Suns' home court. That team, if they continue to do this, and this has not been an easy series. It hasn't. It should have been off the top without Kawhi Leonard, you would think, but it's pretty clear the Clippers have figured out, you know what, we can play, or just the Suns not showing up for game five, or Paul George missing a couple of free throws in the game that ended up being the Valley Oop, which will go down in Suns lore. And you may be saying, God, man, you're giving them a lot of credit. Why are you backing our team? It's the gig. Just look at it and say objectively, these are two pretty evenly matched teams. You know, maybe the wear and tear on a long playoff series, a mentally taxing series, is starting to creep in on a team that was lacking in experience. You know that whole narrative, and the Suns have embraced that narrative. Or let's get this for Chris and all that. Do they look as fresh, or are they just starting to feel the pressure of, man, we're just 1 win away? And that's what happened the other night. And tonight they put it behind them, and they go out and they put their foot down and they throw the Clippers early. If the Suns come out and not ready to play again like they did in game five and they lose this game and it comes down to a game seven, you just don't want that. You just don't want that, especially for a team that has belief now. They have belief that they can win. They don't have to worry about the Kawhi stuff. And it's just like, well, we won without him. We can keep doing it. So I'm very much looking forward to tonight. And there really isn't any, well, let's see what Jay Crowder can do. We've seen it. Let's see if DeAndre Ayton can get back into this series. Okay, we've seen DeAndre Ayton. The stuff is obvious. It's just show up, shut up, and play. That's that. Right on the other side. Diamondbacks, they're halfway home of the season. So I do have to take a segment, even here on a Suns day, to go into this mess and a few other things in sports today. We're back after this timeout. Suns Clippers game 6 tonight. We'll have content up on the site. Follow our social channels. And we'll have commentary throughout the evening over on my Twitter and here on Facebook and all of our channels. All right, so that'll be tonight. Game gets started just after 6 o'clock. Suns with the win, they go to the finals. If they don't, then we have game 7 on Friday. All right, Diamondbacks, today is the halfway mark of the season. Halfway mark of the season for the hometown 9. And they're 22 wins and 59 losses. 22 wins and 59 losses, and they're halfway home. So if we were to do the math on that, what would that be? That'd be 118 losses, and that'd be 44 wins. Now, the trade deadline is coming. They have not had to move guys yet or have not decided to not move guys yet. They have not embraced the whole, this is the baby backs. Let's just go into massive rebuild. They don't want to be humiliated and embarrassed too late. 44 wins are on track for. So, and losing last night at St. Louis, and they have a day game today. So how do we handle this here in Arizona? Because the good news about the Suns playing into July, it's football season is now 30 days away. It's great. We've gone through the last, 10 years where we get to mid-May, and it's, what are we going to do here for the next 3 months? And I mean that in our industry, but also just for fans in general. It's a long, hot summer. Well, not this year. It's great because the Suns are doing what they're doing. But the baseball team has kind of gotten a pass. Not kind of. They have gotten a pass. There has not been the sledgehammer brought out. Because in our world, everything has been about the Suns, as it should be. But I'm going to take a little bit of time on this because I think this is going to go down as maybe the worst team that I've ever covered or seen. I'm not covering them every day, but that I've seen in a hometown that I've worked in. And I've only worked in two, San Diego, where I grew up, and here in Phoenix. This will be the worst team ever. Now, the Suns had some bad teams, but on those bad teams was a kid named Devin Booker. And the kid would get better and better and better, and you could see where he was going. And now we see the end result. In the Diamondbacks case, I don't see a kid that I can look at and say, well, this guy's pretty good. This is worth the price of admission. This is worth going to the ballpark to watch him play. I'd really like to get to know this kid because I'd like to have him come on the show. You know, around town, what I am getting feedback on is the Diamondbacks have just kind of dissolved into this abyss, not only on the field, but off of it. And the Diamondbacks for the longest period of time have been known as the greatest place to work at. And every year they put out there one of the greatest places to work at, and so on and so forth. And kind of like Arizona State football, where when assistant coaches leave or they get out or whatever, there's people that were there that say, yeah, that's not all it's cracked up to be. Not ratting them out. It's just that's what it is. And sometimes that happens. You may have worked at a place and you were that employee that left and it wasn't pretty. And so you have some feelings about the organization that you work for and you want to let them be known. I think that stuff's better kept unsaid. Just move on. As hard as it is, move on. But the direction that the baseball team is heading at 22 wins and 59 losses, who's going to get fired over this? If you're Torrey and they haven't come back to you yet on getting your contract extended, because people be like, why would they be extending a contract on a guy that has 22 wins and 59 losses? Because if they believe in him, and I believe Torrey Lovello is a good baseball man, and yes, he's made some really poor decisions here recently. What happened in St. Louis on Monday night, where the bases are loaded in the third inning and you let your pitcher hit and he sees three and he's back on the bench, that doesn't fly that the bullpen is tired. That just doesn't fly. There's been other mistakes that have been made by this coaching staff. They let go a couple of hitting coaches and that's it. They have not gone out and done a roster dive. There hasn't been the general manager let go. The general manager has left for personal reasons, the health of his wife. Very unfortunate. I completely get it. So who is going to take the fall for all of this? Who is going to take the fall for the worst team potentially in the history of baseball? Who is Ken Kendrick going to look at? Because the owner's not going to fire himself. Does this start to make Ken look at his situation and say, I sent Ken a note a couple weeks back that I'd like to come up to Denver and visit with you. He summers up in the Rocky Mountains. It's fine. I'd like to just come up and sit and do something on the air, not live, but do something on tape and just be, hey, what do we have here? And where are you going from this? And he may or may not. It depends on how you catch Ken. Sometimes you catch Ken and he says what he really thinks. Other times it's just a typical media blah, 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 blah. Let me get through this 8-minute segment and I'll live happily ever after. And I don't want that for you guys. That's not what we're about. But who is going to take the fall? And then how far away are we from seeing a team that can go out on the field and compete? What do you do with a contract like Madison Bumgarner? But I think really at 22-59 here, 81 games into the season. We're 81 games into the season. So now is the time to look at it and say, all right, where are we going from here? And to make some decisions. If Torrey steps away, if Torrey came to the ownership group and said, you know, I just don't want to do this anymore. You guys haven't extended me. This has been the worst season I've ever been a part of. I would completely understand. I would. And I would blame the organization for not going after him in the offseason and saying, let's get this figured out. Regardless of how the bottom has fallen out on this team, they should have extended him earlier. They should have. I'm getting to the point with Mad Bum, and they may be in the mindset that, you know what, as we get to the trade deadline, things will be, the market will be higher. Well, guess what? We're at July tomorrow. And if you're going to do it early. Do not wait until the very end. And I'll just go off the Greinke deal. They waited to the end on Greinke deal. Does the Greinke deal look like a good deal now? And the answer is no. It just doesn't. I think the timing to do something, you might go into the winter meetings, but free up this roster of some cash. Look at the guys that you say, okay, are these just guys? Are these just dudes? Well, Christian Walker was supposed to be all that, replacing Paul Goldschmidt. How's that working out? Again, you can have your reasons behind the scenes, but for me and my circles, there's no reason to watch this other than how bad can they get? There's not a sympathy deal. There's not seeing these young kids come along. All right. And that's what's on my mind today. Suns Clippers tonight. It is game number 6. Just take care of business tonight. I don't have a good feeling. I don't. I'm going to be dead flat wrong. It's fine. It won't be the last time. But I feel like I'm going to be at the arena on Friday night for a decisive game 7. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. The show repeats over and over. Yeah, we're a little short today, but I just feel like tonight everybody's into it. Let's just focus on this. I don't need to put some guests on to say it's a big game. You got it. Okay. Have a good day.